Welcome to the Bold Brave Women Story Hour, where we share with you the heroic and intimate journeys of everyday women to inspire and accompany you as you boldly face your day and bravely make a difference in the world. And here's your hostess, master relationship coach, best-selling author, award-winning international speaker, and founder of the Bold Brave Women Club, Mei Vu.
Welcome to, oh my gosh, this is the new year, 2018. This is actually going to be my very first recording for the Bold Brave Woman on 2018. And today I have with me a very awesome, beautiful, vulnerable guest. Her name is Arielle. Sorry, I'm getting back into work and I am having hiccups myself on my brain here. It's like, don't you hate it when you take some time off and then when you get back to work, your brain just doesn't work quite as well as it was before you left it because you've been resting. So that's me. Anyway, so Arielle Olivia is here with me. She's a colleague in the Bay Area, and I just recently discovered that she moved to Hawaii. And her stories is always so amazing. When I asked Arielle about her life story, she said, her story is about overcoming abuse, abandonment, and adversity. And when you meet her, you don't really see that. I mean, when I met Arielle, I just see her as this beautiful, soft, gentle goddess, you know, who's sexy like hell, and she's a single mom. And I just make up a story that life is easy for Arielle, but apparently she's been through a lot. So I'm going to bring Arielle in, and we're going to see how she creates magic out of all these abuse and abandonment and adversity in her life. Arielle, come on in, honey.
Thank you for that introduction, Mei. Aloha, everyone. I feel so grateful to be here on the first show of 2018.
Yeah, and I love that you use that word aloha for us, because every time that word is invoked, I have a state change. I'm transported to a different place, and someplace warm and Hawaii and gorgeous. So thank you for bringing your aloha spirit to the conversation.
You're welcome. And aloha actually means sharing divine breath. So here we are sharing breath with each other. Sharing love.
Yeah. So first let's get some credibility here on the table. Tell them a little bit about who you are and what you do, Sri.
Yeah. Well, I'm Arielle Olivier. I'm a certified coach and ceremonial and ritual leader, and I facilitate women's circles here on Maui, and then I'm also creating a virtual program. I help women reconnect, recommit, and reclaim their identity, intuition, and intimacy to create internal sanctuary.
So reconnect, reclaim, and re-identify? I forget the last R.
Reconnect, recommit, and reclaim.
Recommit and reclaim so that you can find your identity and create a sanctuary inside you.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. So why that? What? I just realized that before the show I said we're going to go this way, and now I'm like curious in a different way. So come with me, Annie. So why this program? What made you decide to create this?
Well, number one, it's not really me creating it. I mean, part of my story, yeah, has definitely inspired the creation. It's a lot around my own feelings that I've had to overcome through childhood and through partially my adulthood, too, of not feeling safe in the world, and how I was always longing for this feeling of sanctuary, to feel like centered and grounded, and not having to be influenced by external energies and just really feeling safe within myself. So that's what sanctuary is to me.
And yeah. if there's a person who's the expert of this, that would be you, right? I just read through a little bit of what you went through as a child and as a young adult woman. It's huge. Can you give the audience a snippet of like a bullet point list of like when I was a child, this is what happened, and then blah blah blah, and then.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, as a child, there was a lot of abandonment. My parents had their own wounding and projections onto me. So it was like emotional, verbal, physical abuse, primarily from my dad and my stepmom. And then, you know, my mom would be in and out of my life. So my environment lacked stability. Like there was no stability at all. And I was kind of left to raise my younger brother and sister and had to take on an immense amount of responsibility at the age of, like, 10 years old. Mm-hmm. And fast forward to when I was a teenager, I got pregnant at 16, and I felt like I couldn't tell my parents, and I was really scared of what their reaction and what the repercussion would be and what the consequence would be. And my then boyfriend at the time was like, did not want to take responsibility for the pregnancy. And so I had to make the decision to terminate my pregnancy. And that had a huge emotional impact that led me like down the path of avoidance through drinking and smoking, because I just wanted to numb myself. I didn't want to feel the emotional pain that I felt. And I wanted to be happy. And I felt like the only way to do that was through getting high and getting drunk. So I went through that. And then when I was 21, that was when the universe really initiated me and was like dark night of the soul. I got into a horrible car accident where I broke my neck, my back, a rib, my sternum, and I had bleeding in my liver. And I was immobilized in a halo brace for 3 months. But right after my accident, a week after, I had to make the decision to pull my dad off life support. He had been in the hospital, which is why I got in the car accident, because I was driving to go see him, to be with him. And, so that happened.
How could you make that big decision from that state? That's just like an incredible ask of you.
Yeah. I honestly really don't remember. It's all kind of a blur because I was just like so traumatized, and I was obviously medicated to like maintain my physical pain.
Yeah.
And I just remember sitting down with my aunt, my dad's sister, and she just asked me like, Ariel, your dad's in a coma. If he wakes up, he's not going to remember us. He's not going to have any function of his body. He wouldn't want to live like this. I feel like we should take him off life support. How do you feel? And I kind of just had to sit with it. And I was like, at that moment, I had no hope. And I had kind of lost my faith. So I was just like, okay.
It just seems weird that they had to ask you that question at that moment. It's like, wow.
Yeah, I know, right?
I'm not saying
it
that.
All
now,
happened
you
so
ask
fast.
Me.
Right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a little bit of regret there. About like a year later, I had to work through it. I was just like, man, I wish I would have had more time to really sit with that question instead of just make such an irrational, quick decision.
For your own sake, even not even for your dad's life, but like for your own sake, it's like, how can you muster up the courage and whatever it takes to make that decision in that moment? It's just incredible ask of you. So anyway, and then what happened?
And then I was married at the time. My ex-husband was already set for deployment. So he deployed, and I was alone in a halo brace to physically recover in the middle of winter in Colorado. Yeah. It's pretty interesting.
Right? Yeah. And so now you have no father and no husband.
Yeah. Yeah. I was
Okay.
alone.
Okay.
Yeah. And then, needless to say, my marriage ended, and I found myself back in California where my brother and sister were, because I really felt like I needed to be close to them after our dad had died and be there to support them. So, and that's when really my healing journey began, because the universe just put people on my path that were meant to guide me to the mentors that I was meant to work with, that were helped to heal me emotionally and physically. And I created community. That's how I started Big Impact and met you and met all the other wonderful people that I'm associated with now.
Wow, so that's really recent. All this just
Yeah, that happened in 2013. So, yeah.
Baby, you are so bold and brave. Like, you did not look like you just came out of all of that at all. Anyway, and then what happened? Then you got pregnant.
Yep, and then I got pregnant in September of 2014 and had my son in May of 2015. And yeah, became a mama. That was a huge transition and identity shift that I had to really integrate.
So let's bring this thing in, because from out here, Ariel, it looks like you created a really magical life, because it feels like you have everything to be a really poor woman who lives a desolate life, who's trying to raise her kids and blah blah blah. But you're really like magical and joyous, and you know, and you're living in Hawaii. It's like, how? let's speed up to the how do you make this thing happen? How do you make this magic happen, your magical life?
Yeah. My magical life. I love it. It was really through a lot of remembrance and intention. When I went to the Big Island in March of 2017, wow, it's so crazy to say that. I just got really clear that Maui is my home and that's where I'm meant to be. And so I set that intention. I said, all right, universe, like, this is where you want me and this is where I want to be. How can this happen? Like, I'm not going to force it and I'm not going to push it. If it's meant to be, it'll be easeful. And that's not to mean easy. That just means easeful. Like, it'll fall into place with synchronicity. So I kind of just surrendered and I trusted and I just took action and started looking for places here and inquiring and putting in applications. And then I got approved for something. And so as soon as I got approved, I was like, all right, you know, this is meant to be. And I sold the majority of my belongings and my car, even. My car sold quickly too, and bought my plane ticket and came here to Maui with just trust and surrender. Like, that was the huge piece for me, was surrendering my own attachments, my own ideas.
And so what did you have to surrender?
What did I have to surrender? So much. A lot for me has always been, I have a lot of fear around, like, things not working out, or fear of failing, or fear of, like, running out of money or not having enough money. So I had to surrender all of those thoughts that, like, keep me imprisoned in this belief that, like, I'm not able to make it happen for myself. Like, I'm not, it's not possible or not attainable.
And so you sold all your stuff and you got on that plane, and you, and if it was just you, that's different, right? You got on the plane with your baby son, and it's like, okay, honey, we're going to make it. That's it.
Yeah. That's the goal. Yeah.
I totally can relate. I've been there, done that myself, but it's just like, oh, yeah, there it is, you know. And it's never easy. It's always so scary, and at the same time, it's actually really easy, but it's not easy. It's so paradoxical.
Yeah, it definitely is. Definitely.
Okay, and then so then how tell us more, because so many of us are trapped in life as is. If I let go, how will I know? How will I know? How do and you even said, you know, it started out with having your intention. Well, sometimes I find it for myself that I don't even know what's the intention. Like, honestly, right now, where I'm looking at my life for 2018, I'm like, I actually don't know what my intention is, other than, mm-hmm. oh my God, you know, somebody come in and help me out here. So what do we do when we don't even have a clear intention? We just have fear, anxiety, and worry.
I can totally relate to that. I've spent most of my life struggling and experiencing those exact things, anxiety, overwhelm, fear. So I really believe that getting back into our bodies is one of the number one ways, the number one things, because a lot of us, when we're in that state, we disassociate. So really coming back in, embodying our essence and our true self, and connecting to our breath, and then from there, connecting to our intuition to help guide us, because sometimes we may not know what we want, you know, in this physical experience with our ego, who can take us in a totally different direction than what's actually good for us and is what our protective mechanisms operate on from our childhood wounding. So connecting to our intuition to really guide us and help us create our intention, like, and connecting to our feelings, like, what's going to feel the most nourishing for me, the most supporting for me, the most loving for me, and really connecting to what you want to feel.
So let's slow this down so that we can actually apply what you just said. So the first thing is connect to our body. And you said just even go to your breath. So let's have everyone who's listening take a deep breath and just get into just your breathing, let alone anything else right now. So lead us the way, Ariel.
Yeah, just taking a deep inhale, and on your inhale, expanding your stomach and feeling the expansion of breath, of oxygen moving in, nourishing every cell in your body, and then taking deep exhale and contracting your stomach inward as we go in internally into our body with our breath.
And so as you're holding this space for us, what do we do with that voice that says, I don't have time for that. I'm busy. I got to go chase after this and I got to go do that. What do we do with that voice while we're trying to breathe?
Yeah, that voice. I know that one really well. That's a good question. I'm contemplating the answer. I think acknowledging the voice, saying, I hear you, but I'm not going to listen to you. I'm going to do this for myself because this is what I need in this moment. Yeah.
So take a big deep breath, everybody, and whatever voice that comes up for you, just let it go and choose. Like Ariel said, don't listen to that right now and just keep breathing. And now take us into reconnecting to the intention part.
Yeah. So once you're connected to your breath and you've silenced that voice, and you're not allowing it to lead you, you can just ask yourself the question, how or what do I want to feel right now, in this moment, in a day, in a month, whatever it may be, and really connect to that. And once you identify what that feeling is that you want, you can create your intention of how you're going to manifest.
Okay, so I'm going to slow you down again. The trouble with working with goddesses is that they move so fast, and us humans is like, wait.
Sorry.
So what you said was really powerful. Like, ask yourself a very simple question, which is, what do I want to feel right now in this moment? And I'm actually going to give a real-life example of myself right now. Before I got here on the call with you, I had a conversation with my sweetheart, and it was really annoying and painful, and I really could use it to separate us, to really draw. And when you asked that question, you told me to ask myself that question, I asked myself that question, what do I want to feel right now? And I could see a distinction. I could feel peace and completely let that conversation go, or I could pull that conversation back up and make it into something very important about us and really use it to break us. I mean, it could be that big, right? But I forgot, or I didn't give myself the space to breathe and to ask myself the question, what do I want to feel right now? And when I asked that question, what I want to feel was I wanted to feel peace, but I also have that seduction on the side that said, no, we don't want peace. We want to fight. We want to make something out of this. When we're done with this radio show, we're going to pick this back up and we're going to go into it. And I'm like, oh, no, I don't really want to do that.
Oh, my gosh. That's so funny. I'm just, like, seeing myself a few days ago with my partner, too, having, like, similar interaction where I just was like looking at him and I'm like, I want to flip out on you right now, but I'm going to walk away because I need to just go breathe before I lose it on you.
Right? And then I forget all intention for what's possible between he and I. I only remember the idiotic thing that he said, which of course I judge it as idiotic thing that he said, that is, and then I was going to put the intention that that thing is going to break us. Versus just let it go and not let it be a big deal. And I don't think people really get that this, you know, it's not big and profound and the archangels coming out and sing for us. It's these little invisible yet mundane thoughts and choices that come, that if we pay attention to that, that's the intention that I believe Ariel is pointing us to. The breathing, you know, coming back to your body. You don't have to go to a big old yoga class. You don't have to say, oh, I don't have time for that. It's one simple breath. And then the next thing is intention. It's one noticing what you're choosing in your brain to make important.
Yeah, that was a great description, May. Thank you. It's definitely the choices that we're making in every moment. And it is a choice. And you have the choice. You don't have to be a victim of the circumstances around you. You can make a new choice.
Yeah, and the choice is very subtle and it's very insignificant. It's very fleeting. But if you slow it down, you can ask yourself that. And you can have some choices in your head, and when you have some choices in your head, then you can move out into the world with some consciousness, some choices into the world. But most of the time we want the world to change and then we'll make the choice. Like, I want my boyfriend to change and then I'll make the choice.
Yeah.
Okay, that's to making magic. Okay, so then the intention we set, and then what?
Then what?
I think it's expanding the intention, because I keep going back to you creating Maui. I get to watch you through Facebook. Really, that's all I get to do to know of you is through watching the transformation through Facebook. And I was just like, oh, wow, she created this. This is really awesome. And so how did you expand, you know, this thought of like, oh, maybe I should live in Maui, to, oh, not only do I want to live in Maui, but I want to live in Maui in this condition, in this way, not that way, not in not as a little hole in the wall, you know, a place that you compromise. Because I think a lot of times people manifest, but we manifest too small, and then we're unhappy. Then we become the victim of our manifestation.
Mm-hmm.
But you seem to manifest a permaculture place to live in, a circle of women to take care of you and your child, and now you're rocking, you know, building your business. So it's like, fill us in here. How did you expand that intention?
Yeah, when you say it like that, I'm like, yeah, I guess it is. I don't ever see it through other people's perceptions. I'm just always seeing it through my own perception of like, I want to get this going. That's funny.
This is why people pay the big bucks to be in their life, right?
So, yeah, like, totally. Yeah. Hot love, hot life.
So how did you expand your vision, honey?
Yeah. Through following my intuition has honestly been the biggest key for me, and really allowing myself to be supported by the universe, by the divine, by Maui, and letting go of that feeling that I have to do it all alone and I have to make it happen and I have to struggle or I have to force or I have to push it to happen, and just surrendering and allowing it to happen through being connected to my intuition and setting the intention, knowing what I want.
Easier said than done. So let's slow it down again. You know, how? Like, how do you let go? What do you say in your head that connects you to Maui or to the universe?
What do I say in my head? I really don't think it's anything to do with my head when I'm wanting to connect with Maui or the universe or my intuition. It's really all about connecting to my heart, connecting to myself, and knowing that through being connected to myself, I can infinitely be connected to everything and everyone else. So again, like coming back to the breath, really embodying my own space and getting clear with how am I feeling right now? What do I want to feel? And yeah, I'm trying to like put it into terms that people will understand, because to me it's just like, I get it. I just do it. I don't know. It's not like automated, you know. it just happens.
Well, it's the good thing is you're talking to an engineer at heart, so I can break down goddess speak to translate to help you out here.
Yeah, right? I'm so grateful that you're translating it for me, because I'm trying to do the best I can. I'm like not translating
great.
It very well.
You're doing great. So let me just check this out, because I just found myself doing this week, or even today, even where I just kind of like throw my hands up energetically, stay in bed and said, dude, universe, I don't know where to go next. I'm tired. I don't have anything going. And I'm just done. I'm done with working hard. I'm done. And you have to do something. If you want me to keep going, you got to do something, because I'm just not moving out of this bed. How does that fit into your system?
Well, I can relate to that, because I felt like that last week too, and I just allowed myself to rest. I was like, I'm not going to push or force myself to do anything. This is what I need right now. So.
Exactly. So we want to tell you guys, the audience out there, that when you have these moments, these days or days like that, it's okay. Let yourself do it. And really, I don't hear coaches and healers talk about this, but I'm going to like officially 2018 put it on the map here. It's like, it's okay for you to say to the universe, dude, I don't know what to do. You take it over. I'm completely out of this one, because I can't think it forward. I can't feel it. I don't know what I want. I need some help here. Come right now to help me. That is super valid. And I don't really hear people tell us that we can do things like that.
Yeah, giving ourselves permission and just asking, like, I'm at a loss here, like, help me, SOS.
Right? And it's like, I want Maui. I don't know how to get there. You do it. And like,
You
that's
do it.
how obnoxious we can get. You do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's true. Literally, it is really true. Like after I got here and then had to find a new place, I'm like, I don't know how this is gonna happen. It's gonna be miraculous, but this is what I want. And if I'm meant to stay here, you'll bring it to me. And I looked on Craigslist and I found my place and I met the landlord and it all worked out. And it's like the circumstances of how it was gonna happen were kind of wishy-washy. Like I was like, I don't know if I'm gonna be able to make this happen or not. Like this is gonna be a far
Yeah.
stretch, but it happened, so
Yeah. It does
it's
happen.
possible.
It happens to all of us all the time. I mean, I have this whole history of like, when I was 10 years old, I was born in Vietnam and the country fell apart and we had to escape and it ha happened, like we don't know how to create an escape. We don't know how to pull together a boat and get on and get out. And when we got on the boat and got out, we don't know how to, we don't know what's next. We just floated in the middle of the ocean, And so I've lived this and yet I still doubt it. And I still, still worry and I still get scared. And I'm like, why? Because every time life and universe will always give you the next piece. You just have the intention to get on that freaking boat, just like you just you need the intention to get on that plane to go to Maui. And then the next piece will unfold and unfold and unfold and will teach you. And it gives you the actual experience to build your body of work to help teach other people to do the same.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's just taking it moment by moment. A lot of time we feel like we have to have the whole grand plan and we have to know what's going to happen and we have trouble letting go because we don't know. And like May said, just give yourself permission. We don't have to know and we can ask for help and we don't have to do it perfectly and we don't have to be right, We can make mistakes along the way as well.
Yeah, and you can throw a tantrum at the universe, and it's okay.
I throw tantrums at the universe sometimes, just like the car accident. I'm like, what the hell, universe?
Yeah, that was a little intense. Like, I don't know what you and the universe was creating on that one, but that was a little intense. I hope that all of us human, we don't have to create such intensity to create the next step for yourself.
Yeah, well, that one was a big lesson of me not trusting my intuition. I knew not to get in the car to leave to drive that night. And at the time, I wasn't really fully connected to
Yeah.
my intuition and knowing what it was. And so when
Right.
that feeling came and I told my ex, he's like, oh, no, don't worry about it. I'll drive. We'll be fine. Just trust me. And I was like, okay, I'll trust him. And then the accident happened. So it was a big
That's
lesson.
so rough. That's so rough.
Yeah.
Anyway, so if they want to get a hold of you or when your goodies is done, how will people get to know you more?
Yeah, you guys can connect with me on Facebook. The page name is Sanctuary Sisterhood, and you can find all the offerings on there and the posts, and there's a book that's being published this coming year, so stay tuned.
Sanctuary Sisterhood. And before we go, I want to grab the other this reminder just pop in. So I'm going to just do a little right turn here, which is when we came on, you said that there's a part of you that got really scared being on this interview and you're looking good or do I know what I'm saying and being seen visibility and all that stuff is coming up. You say a little bit about that because it seemed to me like you're poised to be seen, to play bigger, to be known in the world. And I want the audience to hear a little bit of that journey too, because, you know, I know people are, who are listening are having something in their heart, in their gut that they want to bring to the world, and it's probably scary for them too.
Yeah, definitely. Visibility has been challenging for me. I grew up always believing that I need to be silenced, or like I'm not worthy, or I'm not lovable, and I had this huge fear of rejection. So being vulnerable to me is so intimidating, and really putting myself out there where I can be criticized and ridiculed by people is, it's like, makes me so tender. I feel so vulnerable, like a little baby. So I'm just really having to have confidence in myself and know that I don't have to be perfect, and I'm not perfect, and that regardless of what people think of me, I still love myself. And that's been the biggest shift that I've made, and really putting myself out there and becoming lovable is that, or in becoming visible, is that I'm lovable regardless of what any external person, force, or energy says.
Beautiful. Thank you. Well, this concludes our conversation today. Thank you, Ariel, so much for being here with us and sharing your vulnerable story and finding your tender voice and inspiring us to create magic and miracles for 2018. Maybe, you know, we all can create Maui, whatever that looks like for us this year.
Yeah, definitely. I wish that for all of you, and I wish you the most pleasure that this year can bring.
And so for me, if you enjoy this show, subscribe and be part of my Bold Brave Woman Facebook group. It's a private group where you get to meet other bold, brave women like Ariel. Everyone that I have on my show are in that group, so that you can be our friends and be part of the Bold Brave Woman group and movement, so that we can support each other in living our, what I love to refer to us is that we're ordinary women doing extraordinary things in the world. And that is just bold and brave, and we need support, community, and lots of love. So look for me on the Bold Brave Women Facebook group. All right. Looking forward to the next conversation that I will bring to you. As always, have a wonderful, wonderful week, and I will talk to you next time. Bye, everyone.
Thanks for listening. We hope you were touched, moved, and inspired by today's story. If you resonate with these stories and would love to tell yours, then join our Bold Brave Women Club on Facebook, facebook.com/boldbravewomen.